mysteries and tragedy. You're listening to the Robert Elm Show here on BBC Radio London, and we're about to listen to Sue Anstis because she's written a book called Game On, The Unstoppable Rise of Women's Sport. And she's on the line now. Hello, Sue.
Hello, good morning, Robert.
And to you too. I mean, I guess it strikes me, the first question is, how come it took so long? I mean, it seems amazing that you know, it's taken this long for women's sport even to get this far, although there's still a way to travel, I think.
Yeah, no, I think very similarly, people feel very similar to you, actually. It's a bit of a shock. We kind of just have accepted it, really, through history. So yeah, it's been a bit of a wake-up call, I think, for many people, really seeing how far behind women's sport's been for so long. But things are changing, and it's looking particularly positive at the moment, which is great news.
No, it certainly is. And I mean, like many people, I guess I'm a big sports fan, and you just grow up assuming that football and cricket and games like this are, you know, rugby are male domains. But recently, mm-hmm. I've been watching the women's football and I've been watching the women's cricket, and they've been fantastic. And I think that there has been a realisation among lots of people, I think.
But there's no real reason why we shouldn't be fans of women's sport in the way that we are of men's. And I think one of the arguments often is the quality of play in the past. That's often cited. But women's sport hasn't had the investment. It hasn't had the sponsorship, the training facilities. You know, we hear some real horror stories in the past. And now with the new broadcast rights, so the fact that you mentioned women's football, but from this evening, it's going to be on BBC and Sky. Sky tonight, BBC tomorrow, so that the FAWSL, the fact that we're able to see it more and see the quality of play, and there's a bit more funding coming into the sport too, really, really will make a huge difference. But you're right, people have just accepted. I was the same myself, I think, for years and years, you just accepted that's the way it was, but not really questioned why. And that's what my book does, is to look back at the why did we get here in the first place? Why has it been this way?
So what are the answers to those whys? I mean, in terms of football, it was actually banned by the FA, wasn't it,
for a long time? Yeah, for 50 years, from the 1920s. But women were doing very well. They were packing stadiums. They had crowds of 50,000 in the 1920s. A lot of it came down to attitudes to women's bodies. They were considered too weak and frail and worried that they might not be able to bear children, etc., if they played sport. So a lot of it was men, you know, at the time, stopping women from playing, you know, in theory, trying to protect us, our frail, weaker sex. And then they were banned from playing. And that spread across the world to Brazil and to Germany, all over the world, women were stopped playing football. And we're kind of coming back now, but it was only 1971 that the ban was overturned. So it's in my lifetime that women weren't able to play on FA pitches. So making amends now, hopefully, and I think that's what we're seeing, the change that we're seeing now.
I guess there have always been sport. I mean, tennis, for example, has been a sport where women have always had, maybe not parity, but certainly have been very major players.
Yeah, tennis and golf also, and it was a lot of the feminine sports. So as you look back at the history, it was the sports where women could still be what was traditionally termed as feminine and playing their sports. So flowing dresses, and, you know, remember Chrissy Evert in the kind of frilly pants and dresses and things of tennis, the tennis scene. But that whole feel of these sports were more feminine versus perhaps some of the more traditionally perceived masculine sports. So, yeah, they have had that success. And then women have, you know, we've been successful, the likes of Serena Williams and others, because they've had funding. They've got sponsorship and funding, and you can see the difference that makes to sport in a professional sense.
How much does this go back to, I mean, our grassroots, if you like, but to school days, maybe even? Does it have to start very early on?
Yeah, it does. And actually, I kind of cover all those areas of right down to grassroots and schools. And schools are changing, and there's lots happening now in schools to make team sports more accessible and open. But there's a massive, massive drop off, especially with teenage girls when they go through puberty and just stop playing sport altogether. So it's a real disparity that starts, not when they're young, when they're all kind of playing in primary school, but as they reach those teenage years. So lots is being done to change that, and just to make girls, you know, enable them to enjoy fun and sport in the way that boys do. You know, there's no reason that they shouldn't have the opportunities that boys do.
Let's talk about funding, because obviously that's, you know, it's a big issue, isn't it? Particularly at the, you know, the professional end of the game. Do you envisage a situation where women's football will be funded in it to the same degree, and women will be earning the same sort of figures as men's players, for example?
Yeah, it's a tricky one because it's almost, football's a bit of an outlier, really, in terms of men's football, in that it's just such in a, such a different place to so much of sport. It's just rugby and cricket and everything else too. So I don't know that women's football will ever or would want to ever necessarily, no. you know, operate in the way men. I think there's an opportunity for women's sport to do it slightly differently to the way men's sport has done in the past. But without doubt, there are sponsors, and there are sponsors lining up to get involved in women's sport now, and you know, the likes of Barclays and Vitality and others, but others coming on board and seeing women's sport. Research shows women's sport seen as being more progressive, more has more of a sense of purpose. It's a cleaner, they, you know, it's more family oriented. So there are lots of brands, especially now, here and now, last, you know, 3-4 years, that want to be associated with things that have that progressive social purpose around the things they sponsor, and women's sport is definitely seen as that. Perhaps over men's. So, you know, I think there's definitely lots of sponsorship coming in into sports now.
Will we ever see a situation in those sports where it could make sense that we don't have men's sports and women's sports, that you could play cricket with mixed teams, for example?
Yeah, there's some of that. I mean, there is some of that. There are, there's a physicality. You know, there will always be sports where men's innate strength and power, you know, just naturally... means it can't be equal, but there are many sports, even the wheelchair rugby, where they can mix teams up and bring men and women in, and we've seen some of that. So I think there may be. I think it's more of the for me, it's a bit. It starts with the language also, but they're not referring to a team as you know, Chelsea and then Chelsea women. That we've always had, you know, it's the men's team that comes first, and then the women's will have a gender marking, as it's termed, the World Cup, and then it's the Women's World Cup. I think we get to a place where we either term both men's and women's, or we just talk about them as World Cups and championships without always having to make the women's one seem like it's the secondary to the men's. That's what we're kind of hoping for, where they're seen equally.
What's the situation in athletics? Because that seems to be another sport where women, you know, there's always been a strong kind of women's element.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are sports, and there's, you know, you mentioned athletics, but swimming and triathlon and many sports where actually there has been much more equality than we've seen. But even so, looking back at history, you know, it's only in recent years in terms of endurance events into Olympic Games that obviously we've had recently, but women haven't always been able to do everything, whether it's pole vault or those endurance events. But it definitely is fairer, and the prize money is fairer, and the, you know, the opportunity to viewing rights, etc., are very, very similar in many of those. Some of those newer sports, and as you say, sports like athletics and swimming.
The newer sports, when we talk about things what like skateboarding or you know, kind of the ones we saw in the Olympics, I mean, there certainly seems to be an almost an innate equality there.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. And I love, you know, all the BMX. There's amazing women winning golds at BMX. And for me, clearly it's about women's sport. That's what's important to me. I want that parity. But it's a bigger piece about society. So it's how all those young boys that saw those women doing, young women doing amazing things, BMX and you know, Sky Brown skateboarding, what it makes them think about the girls around them in the classroom when they go into school, or their colleague, you know, their sisters and their women they come across in everyday life. So I think it's about sports power to change perceptions generally in society. What does it make women and girls think about what they can achieve, whatever they want to do in life, when they see amazing women being strong and fearless, you know, on our television? So yeah, it's a really powerful thing.
Did you say the football's on this evening?
Yeah, this evening. So it's Reading and United this evening on Sky, and it's the first time. And then tomorrow on the BBC, and then the BBC are covering Wood Sky across this whole season. So yeah, the first time ever. You know, people will really be able to follow. And it isn't just clearly seeing it is really important, but it's also the build up to it. It's the fact that we'll begin to understand who the players are, what's happening in the transfer window, you know, all the things we would expect with men's sport. That's the bit that makes sport appealing, and the quality of coverage and commentary and all those things too. So yeah, it's a really huge piece for the FAWSL today, and really exciting that it's all starting.
Well, if you want to read more, the book is called Game On, The Unstoppable Rise of Women's Sport by Sue Anstis. Sue, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.